Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good afternoon, good day. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net. I'm Jay Cruz, your happy host. Always happy to talk about sports, and I talk about music once a month as well on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Also replayed same time slot, and that's called the Backbeat Radio Show. Occasionally I get a pretty cool guest. Oftentimes I'm busy and just talk about what's happening in the world of music. Probably talking about that Jane's Addiction thing in the upcoming show. So that's the first time I've ever done a cross-promotion for the two radio shows I do here. And I'm also behind the scenes as the anchor person of the HRN News at 7. So luckily, I'm kind of told to follow sports. So it makes it easier to keep up with what's happening in the sporting world and obviously fantasy sports as well. So Major League Baseball is coming up on the playoff season. A few teams have already punched their tickets to the postseason. Those are the New York Yankees. They're in the playoffs. The Cleveland Guardians, formerly the Indians, are in the playoffs. In the American League West, two teams have been eliminated, Oakland and Los Angeles. The White Sox, of course, have been eliminated at losing 117 games. Over in the National League, Washington and Miami have been eliminated. Philadelphia, New York, and Atlanta still alive in the race for that. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh are out. Milwaukee clinched the National League Central for the fifth time in 6 years. That's a pretty good record. And the Dodgers, four games ahead of the Padres, with a series coming up in L.A. next week, a three-game series. Yeah, it could swing either way. Either the Dodgers could win and clinch and might have that happen before then, or the Padres could sweep and get closer. Arizona Diamondbacks are also on the hunt of the Dodgers. So, taking a look at the wild card, Baltimore and Kansas City currently are in position. Baltimore with a 5-game lead, the Royals with a 2-game lead over the Minnesota Twins and Detroit Tigers, surprisingly, who are also, they're not too far behind, still alive. Seattle, 2 games back. Boston, they're 4 games back. That's kind of deep. And Tampa Bay is 5 games back as well. In the National League, San Diego has a 2-game lead for the wild card position, with the Mets and Diamondbacks both tied. Atlanta, 2 games behind them. And Chicago is going to need a lot to happen for the Cubs, not the White Sox, at 7 games back, with the Cardinals at 8 games behind. The Giants were eliminated just yesterday. They're 11 back. So, with the National League, Major League Baseball playoffs wrapping up, fantasy sports playoffs have been going. And as I mentioned last week, I have two teams. One's a dynasty league, one's a keeper league. And they both made the playoffs. I was very happy. The Keeper League, I do pretty well with them from season to season and did win a championship in our initial season. I think this is year number 6 for that particular league. And, you know, played a season during the COVID situation, which was a really bad season for my team. And, you know, I mean, fantasy sports is the last thing to think of during the COVID situation. And my team was pretty bad. So happy to see them at least making the playoffs. Last year, I think we were in third place. This year, the Southside Stone Sox were beat in the round of the championship quarterfinals, and we're now in the consolation bracket. How are we doing in the consolation playoffs? Let's take a quick look. A close matchup right now with the Carolina Reapers. That's the team I'm playing against. And we're currently down 4-6, leading in home runs and RBIs and runs, slightly off pace with stolen bases down by one, and batting average about 15 points behind. In pitching, pretty close, down by a win, down by a save. Kind of a big gap in strikeouts. My opponent has a 13-strikeout lead. I have a bit of a lead in earned run average, and we both have very good whips, walks to hits, walks and hits per innings pitched ratio, which is one of those stats that's been around. But there's so many more now complicated and nuanced statistics that, you know, whip is pretty commonplace. Commonplace if you're, you know, someone who follows the game. So with the weekend remaining to go, you know, the Southside Stone Sox might pull off. And if they do go on and win the consolation championship, the cool thing about that is the number 5 team. Actually, this is the 5th place game. So I'll either be in 5th place or 6th place when it's all said and done. And the cool thing about the consolation championship in this particular league, and the reason, kind of the reason we have it, is to avoid tanking. Now, for those that don't know what tanking is, that's essentially kind of mailing it in, throwing a game, if you will, without throwing a game. Now that we're, you know, we don't have any money invested in these leagues. These are just Yahoo public leagues, pretty much for fun and bragging rights. And obviously, there's a lot of people that play for big money in fantasy sports. Certainly not going to discount that. And whenever that's around, you're going to have, you know, people getting a variety of emotions. Usually, most are, I guarantee you play a game of poker with your friends and you're going to yell at each other by the end of the night. One person's going to be happy and the other 5 friends will be not so happy. There'll be a lot of cursing and F-bombs going your way if you're the person that wins. So, you know, that comes. But anyway, back to tanking, you know, intentionally losing or, you know, playing players that are not as good or, you know, not replacing guys when they get injured, stuff like that, just not competing. Or, you know, competing to try to lose, to avoid that, just to get the number 1 pick, you know, once you look at your team and go, okay, we stink, let's just, you know, throw the rest of the season and get the number 1 draft pick next year. You know, having the incentive of having to try to win the consolation championship, because after you get eliminated from the championship round, you're kind of like bummed, and that's the time you just go, all right, well, you know, fantasy baseball was fun, I made the playoffs, not going to win a championship. Let's move on with the rest of things in life, or, you know, just check out the real baseball playoffs, or move on to fantasy football, or get ready for that NBA draft. All of the above check for me. So either way, it's the 5th place game, and, you know, there's an okay chance if I do win this, which is possible. I'm only down by a run now. This time last week, I was up in both of my leagues and thought, hey, I'm going to have 2 teams playing in the championship bracket, which happened last year in basketball, which was very cool. Excuse me for the brief pregnant pauses that happen as I have to kind of clear my throat. Bit of a weather change here in Southern California. Fall is kind of creeping in early. Normally we get that late summer kind of salvo, which didn't quite happen this year as much in LA as we normally do. It still might happen. Sometimes it comes in October. But for the moment, you know, the temperatures are dropping. And a bit of a scratchy throat that I've kind of been dealing with off and on for the last few weeks. So the Stone Sox, my keeper team, that's been around 6 years, currently playing for the 5th place and hopefully number 1 draft pick in the following season. Now, with this league, as we have to sort of reopen the availability for the majority of the roster, we keep up to 5 players that are currently on our roster. And while in the auction draft, obviously you have an auction price that goes when you outbid other players or owners for a player. And the draft league, whatever round you draft a player in, you keep them at that value next year. In this case, I can't remember who the number 1 pick was on the Stone Sox. Although I know Matt Olson is the second round pick, as I'm looking over the roster, trying to think, you know, who I picked at number one. Oh, yeah, I sort of grabbed a relief pitcher from Toronto. It was kind of disappointing, and I was kind of lost. I was on the relief pitcher page as my time came up, and it was starting to run out. And anyway, I went for the number one reliever. Not the best pick. Jordan Romano, he ends up with a season rank of 629. Stat-wise, how many saves did he get? He only had 8 saves this year. Last year, 36. His ERA doubled, and he's been on the injured list for quite some time. So, obviously, I'll be releasing him and not keeping him. And he would be my number one pick. So, my number one draft, my number one first round will be open. And if I win and get this pick, I get the number one pick in the draft. And I'll make sure not to blow it like I did this year. So that's an incentive to hopefully play out the string and win this game this weekend. Over in the other league, Maury's Wigs. That's the salary cap league, and I kind of focus on the salary cap teams a little bit more. The scoring is much more difficult, and I think the team building, initially salary cap auction leagues are tougher because you have to consider the budget of your team. You know, do you pay for a couple really good players and put out a lot of money at the beginning and then fill out the rest of the roster with a bunch of guys, or what they're called, jags, just a guy who qualifies at a position and will give you some okay numbers, but you're basically living off two or three really good players, or do you kind of spread it out and have a very strong team top to bottom, or at least better than average to good at all positions? That's kind of where I'm at, with maybe a couple, one or two players a little bit higher in the, you know, superstar franchise player level. I did lose a game to an opponent this week. A few weeks ago this season, and it really kind of opened my eyes into a little of the difference of the, I want to have a balanced team, and, you know, with last year when I had a couple injuries, you know, it underscored my philosophy of sometimes being snake bit. And when I look back, you know, those players weren't all that expensive. I still kept them within a reasonable budget to be able to fill out all roster spots with not having to settle for a lot of $1 players at the end, which can be a little stressful. You got to wait till the end of the draft and then, you know, hope they're still around and, you know, secretly, you know, not bring their name up because someone else might want them too that's in the same position. But one of my opponents, he had spent a good chunk of his money on two very, very good superstars. One, Aaron Judge of the Yankees, home run hitting outfielder, and Mookie Betts, who quite honestly was injured for quite a bit of this season. That would have been a bummer, but he was able to hang around and be midway through the standings, still probably off the strength of Aaron Judge and, you know, decent players to fill out the rest of the roster. But as I was playing a game with him, we were coming down on Sunday, the end of the week, right before you do the, you know, pretty much the end of the week and the end of the game, you know, ninth inning, if you will. And Aaron Judge and Mookie Betts both had big games and enough to carry them. I was kind of like, you know, those superstars do have those big games, and you know, when that happens, it can carry a team a little bit. So, you know, that's kind of a little bit of the two philosophies. Do you, you know, go for a couple outstanding players, fill out the roster with what's left, or, you know, do you kind of keep a balance? So, anyway, I'm a little more in the keeping a balance because I had some high-priced players get injured last year. Currently, again, bummer, I'm in the consolation bracket for this league as well. I was in the championship semifinal. We only have 8 teams that qualify for the playoffs. I ended up being in 6th place for the season, which is a pretty big improvement. I think last year I was in 10th place, again, with the injuries at the beginning of the season. And, you know, old Maury had to coach his butt off and pick a lot of players up off the waiver wires, which kind of helped having some good, talented players that other owners were releasing maybe before their due date, and was able to kind of build and grab some cheaper players for upcoming season. So next year, depending on who to keep with the salary cap and whatnot, and I kind of think about that throughout the entire season. You know, especially when I get trade offers. I got a number of trade offers for at least three of my best young players that I had for like $1 or $2. And, you know, those are the ones you don't want to trade. You want to keep those players. For instance, two of my players were $1 players. They were both, you know, true blue rookies. One of which just went on the injured list for the Dodgers, who, let's say, if you're a pitcher lately for the Dodgers, you're kind of going to be in that injured list. I'm going to bring up another guy who's a pitcher, but not this season, who just did something phenomenal. Anyway, so Gavin Stone just went on the injured list. I also have Mason Winn, shortstop of the Cardinals. Those were guys I drafted last year in the minor league draft. Didn't activate them and then did this year, which I kind of thought might happen. That's the thing with minor league players. Sometimes you want to let them develop and then wait until they're going to be in the big leagues for the full season. There are a handful of players that go up and down, and even some guys that have been on major leagues for a year or two that go through a slump and end up getting sent down, like Pirates outfielder Jack Sawinski. He was a guy I picked up late last year, had him at a dollar salary. He had 20-something homers, 70-something RBIs, a decent number of steals, and I thought, you know, for a dollar, he's going to help me out. And he had a bad season. He got sent down a couple times. I had to release him. So, nonetheless, the team, Maurice Wiggs, was able to finish sixth place overall, qualify for the playoffs, and currently in the consolation semifinal. Currently ahead, and there will be a second round if I get through this. Now, probably the team that looks like I'll be playing, the Carolina Disco Turkeys, they're ahead right now too. And basically off the aggregate numbers that everyone has scored this week, it looks like I'm kind of finished in the standings about where I should be, sixth place. Out of the six highest score, there's two other teams with less amount than me going into. So overall a good season. I improved four spots in the standings, qualified for the playoffs, yay. Didn't make the championship round after that. Was competitive, was in the lead as of this time last Friday. And then, you know, the other team that was seeded higher and is a overall, you know, better team, they were number three overall, ended up coming back and getting the victory, earning the victory. So overall a good season for both my teams, getting in the playoffs, and then one team, hopefully, consolation championship will get me the first pick in the draft next year. And I already know that I'll have an open round because I'm not going to keep my first round pick. So I might get the number one of players available next year. And Maurice Wiggs, I have been looking at, you know, players to keep on the salary cap. Gavin Stone, as I mentioned, even though he's on the IL now, had a great season. He'll be a $2 player next year. I've had numerous trade offers for that guy. Had to reject them all. Shortstop Mason Winn. He's played a full season for the Cardinals. He's done pretty well. He's going to be a keeper, and this gives me a little flexibility on the shortstop middle infield position. Along the way, one of the numerous trade offers for Gavin Stone with an owner that I respect and wanted to sort of keep an open dialogue as a potential trade partner because we've had good trades in the past. You know, I at least made a counter offer, and I wasn't in a hurry to give up on Taj Bradley, a pitcher of the Tampa Bay Rays. Although he'd had a bit of an injury history and a little bit of rocky outings with Tampa Bay and was slow to start this year as he's on the IL, he was finally available and had a couple good wins. And, you know, I was like, oh, good, I'm really glad I kept him. But then when the Gavin Stone offer came in, it was with a player named Xander Bogaerts, who is a middle infielder, second base shortstop, San Diego Padres, and pretty good player, pretty good hitter. Anyway, I counter-offered, instead of trading Gavin Stone away, I re-offered Taj Bradley, who had also been one of my original minor league picks, and I actually had him on my major league roster last year due to necessity, half my pitching staff being hurt. I had called him up, and then he went up and down a couple times last year for Tampa Bay. I had to keep him on my major league roster, otherwise risk him going into the free agency pool, being picked up by another player. I could try to do that and pick him up again, but, you know, young potential player is going to attract attention. Someone else might, you know, have an extra roster spot to, you know, keep him. Anyway, nonetheless, made the trade, Bradley for Xander Bogaerts. It was accepted. And then the first day I had Bogaerts on my roster, he went out and separated his shoulder, broke his collarbone, and was out for like a month. He's been pretty productive. The Padres have been red hot. But between him and Jeremy Pena of the Houston Astros, they both have a $17 salary, which will next year, I believe, go up to $20. Those were in the third year of the league. Pena was 16, 17 this year. Same with Bogaerts. And I'll probably have to pay 20 for either one. So one of those guys I'm going to hopefully trade in the offseason if we have our winter meetings, which I think we are, which is kind of cool and kind of unique, something I suggested earlier in the year, and the commissioners liked it and thought it was a pretty cool idea to implement. Or maybe we put up a one-week window in the off-season, maybe sometime in the NFL playoffs, Super Bowl, you know, just before, because the season starts soon after that. Just kind of nice to have it in the middle of the year so you can kind of keep fresh with, you know, things. And most of us play in a couple leagues together anyway, so, you know, we're kind of in a constant communication. But, you know, there's a few players that are also going to be expensive that I'm, you know, already determined I'm going to let go. Third baseman Nolan Arenado, I picked him up last year in a trade involving Manny Machado and Josh Hader. And I needed a relief pitcher and was able to do that. Nolan Arenado, not much, little less costly at the time than Machado. And, you know, pretty close statistically. He's getting a little older, though. Arenado is. He's had an okay season, a good season, not a great season, but his salary's going to bump up, and he'll be a little expensive. Jose Altuve, somebody who's definitely he's a polarizing player. There's a lot of players that just don't like him because of the trash can scandal a couple seasons ago. But I tell you, dude puts up numbers. Last year he was hurt for a while. This year he's been very solid. And I have him at a, you know, high $20 salary. If I was to trade him or just release him back into the free agency pool, I could keep Xander Bogaerts and Pena and Mason Wynn and have my middle infield kind of solidified and save about $10 or $11 on salary cap there. If I trade Altuve or Bogaerts or Pena, obviously I'll keep the other two that is not traded and, you know, should help save a little money there. Another person to think about is Petey Alonso, power-hitting first baseman for the Mets. He's the highest paid player on my team, besides Yoshi Yamamoto, who I might try to trade in the offseason. I had a lot of interest in him, paid a lot of money for him, $37. I targeted him as my one pitching free agent that I wanted to get, and had he been around a little longer, I might have had a slightly better season, but that's just been the luck of the Dodgers this year. Pitchers, seems like all pitchers have gone to the IL, needing Tommy John surgery. And before we wrap up the segment, Shohei Ohtani, as awesome as he is as a player, hitter, who just accomplished the never-before-been-done, except for maybe your son's video game, 50-50, stolen bases 50, home runs 50, all in the same season. 40-40 used to be a pretty epic level and still is. Jose Canseco was the first person to do that. A few others have. But Ohtani, 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases. And he's been rehabbing his arm because he's a pitcher. And you know, right now the Dodgers having no pitching. Manager Dave Roberts has been on a couple radio shows, both locally and nationally, and has been asked the question. And he sort of put out he wouldn't close the door on Ohtani being able to pitch. But, you know, hopefully the Dodgers are going to go with caution and have him back in full health next year, being able to be a starting pitcher. At this point, I would almost wonder if having Ohtani come out of the bullpen, maybe not during the playoffs, maybe, have him go an inning or so, but he's probably not going to come in the playoffs. I would agree it's not a good move to do so long term. But if they bring him back next year, as he's scheduled to do, instead of having him be a starter, try him out of the bullpen. Come in, throw an inning, high velocity. Anyway, I'm a radio host here on HealthyLife.net. It's Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm not the Dodger manager. Those decisions are made up there on top of the hill in Chavez Ravine. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back and talk some fantasy football on Fantasy Sports Friday.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm your host, Jay Cruz, taking a look at fantasy football and NFL football now after a baseball roundup. Got to see that at least I got my teams in the playoffs, so I have a legitimate right to host a fantasy sports show. Traditionally, I do really good at basketball compared to the others. Baseball, I do kind of good, and football, fantasy football, is really kind of a big crapshoot. In my opinion, the other sports, there's 5-6 games a week, maybe not as many as basketball, but 4 or 5 games a week for each team, and therefore you have more players to shuffle in and out of a starting lineup and accumulate points with. Sometimes you might have a full roster, sometimes maybe not enough to, you know, fill out all the open slots on your team. Now with football, all the games happen. Well, now they happen from Thursday through Monday, and I'll tell you, sometimes I'm just not in the mood for Thursday football. It comes up, and, you know, after a big football weekend, you kind of move into some other things in life, and then it's a whole new week. And then, of course, with football, before fantasy football, I was always way more interested in the point spreads and picking winners that way. I still think more people do that than fantasy sports have become a pretty big thing and are a lot of fun. And of course, you know, people win and lose a lot of money too, so be responsible. If you got a problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. So the two fantasy football teams I have, naturally I'm 1-1 in both leagues. One league, one team won the first this last week, the other team won their first game and the other team lost their first game. So, you know, a lot of it has to do that. You know, you might have a player in your starting lineup that maybe gets hurt somewhere in the first half and doesn't come back the rest of the game, or the team that particular player is on, maybe all of a sudden they're down 2 touchdowns and they've decided, oh, we can't really afford to run the football, we're going to throw. And then they don't hand a ball off to your maybe number one or, you know, your backfield. And that, you know, takes away their opportunities for runs. Now, these things are completely out of our hands as fantasy football owners. The only thing that is in our hands is all in our head and the, you know, research you do on what a team does. And, you know, it's good to know, okay, this team starts slow. You know, maybe I won't start that running back because, you know, of this and that. Also, there's a few trends that happen seasonal-wise. First of all, early in the season, defenses rule because it's so much tougher to get that offense coordinated, everybody on the same page. It takes a lot more effort to get an offense, you know, really clicking and playing well and doing everything together, where a defense can get itself together a lot quicker. Still complicated, but they can figure things out a lot quicker. Number one, run or pass, and then how they're going to defend that, you know, basically, and they can kind of scheme and just have a better opportunity early in the season. The other thing, interesting early in the season, you know, injuries will happen, but there's a lot of players who are getting winded or dehydrated, not necessarily in later in the football year game shape. Now, that's kind of a flip of the coin. Early in the season, you would think the majority of players, unless they're someone like Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins, and congratulations to both of them getting wins this past week. Kirk Cousins in Atlanta coming back against the Eagles, and Aaron Rodgers looked good last night against the Patriots. I actually took the Patriots in the points, embarrassingly now. I thought they'd keep it a little closer. The Jets look pretty good, and the Patriots' offense is a problem. There is no offense. They don't have a deep threat to throw to. Jacoby Brissett's an okay player. He's there to basically train Drake May, who will be their quarterback of the future. And the Jets have an awesome defense, too. So, you know, the play on that one is obviously the under of 38 with 27 points happening. Nonetheless, I think the Patriots are going to be a lot better this year than people think. But a good game for Rodgers last night. The Patriots kind of fallen back to earth. They've been pretty strong in the first two games, even though they're 1-1. They did upset the Bengals and gave the Seahawks a bit of a scare. But those guys, you know, they're kind of coming back off their injuries, so this time of the season might be, you know, a little. And, you know, even one of the commentators, Kirk Herbstreit, I said, he's like, you know, I'm finally getting used to seeing an Aaron Rodgers run out of the pocket. You know, as he had the Achilles injury, and you're just like, he's one hit or one step away from, you know, redoing that. He's 40. He's still effective, but he's 40. How old are you? How did you feel at 40? I'm not judging, I'm just saying. You know, so he's kind of rare to even be there, and he's maybe a young 40 because he has been out for injuries a couple times in his career. I think the fountain of youth, Tom Brady, he missed like one season. He had a knee injury on basically game one or two of the season. Matt Cassell came in, filled out the rest of that year. The Patriots that year went 11-5, missed the playoffs. But outside of that, Brady was pretty much out there all the time. Well, there was the suspension, as I digress, which gave Jimmy Garoppolo a platform to get paid $150 million, maybe a little premature. And then Jacoby Brissett filled in after Garoppolo got hurt, which is definitely a harbinger of things to come. So anyway, that's just kind of some opinions on fantasy sports as I'm meandering a little bit. So the Fender Jags, that is my draft team, did lose last week, and I'm not going to say part of that was because my quarterback, Jordan Love, was out, but he was. And my backup's Jaden Daniels. He did fairly good, although the Washington team won. Daniels, he's running a lot. Coaches are kind of wishing he wouldn't do as much of that. But the Washington will play Monday night against Cincinnati. There's two Monday night games this upcoming week. Tyreek Hill, we're going to do about him, because Tua Tagovailoa's, his career is kind of on the balance. The concussion that he received last Thursday night, still not cleared. He's put on injured reserve. And, you know, Miami's offense is built around him. They're going to be going with Skylar Thompson, who has some experience. It's been around. It's not like he doesn't know the plays, but he's not Tua. And, you know, Tyreek Hill's a guy who still might get a handoff or a couple gadget plays, but, you know, those are rare. If, you know, they're not going to be a consistent thing. He's pretty much a long ball threat, and Tua's got a strong arm, and then just chuck it long, and Hill can go out and catch it. San Francisco is going to be without two of their top weapons. Deebo Samuel is going to miss a couple games, and Christian McCaffrey, CMC, number one fantasy player in the fantasy world, is on the injured reserve or injured list. So I hope Brandon Ayuk gets some passes thrown to him. The Niners will be here in L.A. taking on the Rams, about a big throw away from the top-secret location. The Raiders had a good game. They upset Baltimore. They were down by, I think, 10 points in the fourth quarter, came back and won. That's kind of a signature win for this season. Obviously, last year, Antonio Pierce did well and earned the job. So Jacoby Myers is, let's hope he has a good game. The Raiders play against Carolina, who is not a good team so far. Good team so far, the Saints. Their offense was ripping it up. I'm glad I got Alvin Kamara. You know, he's a guy who's been a high-end, high-pick running back, and he was slipping in mock drafts, and I, you know, saw that I was able to get him in a certain place in mock drafts, and I'm glad I did, as the Saints' offense is looking good. They'll face the Eagles this week. Kind of like New Orleans still. The Eagles, good team, still struggling. In Cleveland, they're still waiting for Nate Chubb to come back. Nick Chubb, excuse me. And Jerome Ford has been getting quite a bit of the running back carries there. Travis Kelce, he and the Chiefs face the Falcons. And Brock Bowers, a guy I targeted in all my leagues, a really great prospect out of Georgia. And he's already, you know, one of the leading tight end receivers in the NFL. So I have him in one of my slot positions as the Raiders host the Carolina Panthers. Zamir White, Raiders running back, not going to start him. Romo Odunze with the Bears, he was a little dinged up. They play Indianapolis, a better-than-average defense. Probably going to be sitting him in favor of the other starting. Jordan Love might come back this week. Green Bay says they're going to keep it to a game-time decision. So I may or may not slip him back into the starting lineup. Probably going to go with Jaden Daniels and the Monday night game against Cincinnati. Seahawks runner Charbonnet, I've got keeping him on the bench. And Packers receiver Mr. Dobbs, Romeo Dobbs, kind of keeping him back. And the 49ers defense, hopefully they will turn it around. They're playing the Rams. They have a good thing against the Rams. Rams are a good team. And they have an issue with wide receivers not being healthy. Cooper Kupp, who missed a lot of time last year, which opened up the door for Puka Nacua to get a lot of catches. Well, this year Puka Nacua started with an injury. He's been placed on the IR and might be missing up to 6 to 8 weeks, which he's already missed a few. And now Cooper Kupp also dinged up. So the Rams are kind of without a couple of receivers. Sean McVay is a great offensive mind. The Niners have a good defense, so stands to reason they might just key on that run game and be able to handle whatever receivers that the Rams throw their way. But we'll see. We're going to take a quick break and be back with some more fantasy football updates and prognostications. I'm Jay Cruz. We'll be right back.
Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death.
ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Everybody down! Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold off. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake. And you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
We're back, Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm Jay Cruz. Let's take a quick look at what's happening with the Tank Town Tarantinos. It's a name I really liked. I had it in a league last year that I didn't like. I didn't like the league. I quit that league. I think the commissioner liked the name that he wouldn't let me change it. So some other guys probably out there enjoying pretty much my used name. But nonetheless, playing on a different platform on Sleeper, where I'd played a couple seasons ago, ended up in a league that only had 8 teams. To me, that's just not worth my time. That's just not much of a challenge. It's like playing poker with wild cards. It just doesn't work out for me. Nonetheless, so I, you know, deleted that team, and the commissioner of the other two leagues I'm in, or 4 leagues, the other two sports, they opened up a fantasy football auction league. I, of course, loved the idea of that. So here I am. We're 1-1. And last night, apparently, I scored .30 points. I'd started Patriots running back Ramondre Stevenson, who had been pretty solid in games 1 and 2. He was solid on the bad side, or the Jets' defense was super solid, or the Jets' quick 14-0 lead pretty much forced New England to try to throw the ball because the running was not in the cards. And my opponent has Garrett Wilson, who scored 11.8 fantasy points, which is not bad for me. He's down a little bit from his projection, and Hunter Henry, a Patriot tight end, also on my opponent's team, scoring under his projection. Pretty much all Patriot players, if you started them last night, didn't do well. Probably even their team defense. You know, they give up a lot of points, but they didn't make any turnovers, a handful of sacks, but really nothing to write home about. So this team is 1-1 heading into this week. I got Lamar Jackson, who played okay last week, even though the team lost. Ravens and Cowboys, this will be an interesting matchup. Both teams kind of desperate. The Ravens are winless, 0-2, losing to the Chiefs, and then the Raiders, and had a 10-point lead. I'm not exactly crying about that, being a Raider fan. Quarterback on my opponent's team this week, Team Ice Truck Killers. They have Josh Allen of the Bills playing against Jacksonville. I've got Jonathan Taylor of the Colts, who had a pretty good game last week. They're playing the Bears. Stevenson, who's been good in week 1 and 2, was pathetic last night, or not all his fault. So that's a slot that didn't work out for me. Amari Cooper of Cleveland, I'm starting him this week. They're playing the Giants. Enough said there. George Kittle had to get 2 IVs last week, still made it back, 1 in each arm. That's efficiency, making the best of your time. He's questionable this week, probably because of the dehydration. Questionable means he's going to play, especially with Debo and McCaffrey out. He's going to get out there. The guy I like for Washington is Mr. Robinson, Brian Robinson, and I expect him to have an okay game, hopefully better than okay, Monday night against Cincinnati. Brock Bowers, tight end on both my teams. got a future with this guy. In fact, I had to pay $13 for him in the auction, which is higher than some other players, but everyone knows he's got a future, and he's someone I targeted. Bo Nix, I don't know how he's going to do. This is, you know, the flex number two, and since quarterbacks normally score more than other position players, at some point I'm holding out hope that he's going to do well. Although, as we're speaking, I'm going to make a change, and I'm going to put Gardner Minshew in the flex two position. Gardner Minshew had a good game last week for the Raiders. They host the Carolina Panthers, their home opener. Their first two games are on the road, one in L.A., one in Baltimore. They're 1-1, and I like their chances against Carolina. The only thing that makes me nervous is Andy Dalton is starting and not Bryce Young, who's been benched already. And comparing him to former Raider Jamarcus Russell, which is the last guy you'd want to be compared to. Andy Dalton does have a good career record against the Raiders. Most of that came from when he was with the Bengals, but, you know, he's also had some starts with other teams, been a backup, and, yeah, the Raiders are going a new direction, so a lot of that you kind of throw out the window. And Dalton hasn't played many games in like a year, year and a half. You know, he's done a spot start here and there. He is a veteran. He's also 36, and again, Raiders home opener, and they got to be high as a kite emotionally after the Baltimore game. And they're making some adjustments and changes. They're not a team to sleep on. I'm not going to say they're in the playoffs, and I might just be an optimistic Raider fan, but Antonio Pierce he's making some changes. And one of the things I was interested in watching the game last week is, you know, he's holding playing time over people's heads to be accountable and productive. There was a guy on the offensive line who started the game, series two, he had been replaced. He eventually came back in, but, you know, Coach Pierce is, you know, nobody's fool. The Monday night game, Cincinnati, I've got kicker Evan McPherson. He's got a strong leg, as it appears everybody does in the NFL nowadays. And the 49ers defense, who take on the Rams. Looking back, I probably should have started Singletary of the Giants or Ezekiel Elliott of the Cowboys instead of Ramondre Stevenson or Jacoby Myers. Debo Samuel I have to take out, who normally would be in my starting lineup. And a guy I picked up last week, or the week before, someone for depth purposes, but a pretty skillful player of the now Atlanta Falcons, Darnell Mooney. It's interesting. Last, I was talking about that league I was in that I didn't really enjoy being in. The commissioner was kind of a word I can't really, I could say anything I want, but I don't really want to say it on the radio. He was one of those type of people. Anyway, that league, within the first week or two, he wanted to get Darnell Mooney off my team. And I'm like, that's one of my few decent guys, the way you kind of fix the draft against new players, and I'm not going to trade him to you. And then one of the other owners tried to, you know, you could tell that they were friends, and the owner or the commissioner probably said, hey, man, try to get Mooney off this, and I'll trade you so-and-so. Because I'm not going to say those backdoor deals don't happen in fantasy sports. Anyway, so let's kind of take a look at maybe some starting and sitting options with, you know, players that dealing with being banged up or maybe against some stiff competition and ineffectiveness coming up this weekend. A couple players you want to look at and maybe start if they're on your team or can pick up on your waiver wire: Jameson Williams of the Lions and the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals have looked pretty good, but, you know, the Lions are ready for a bit of a breakout game. Williams has a good matchup against the Arizona defense. Tony Pollard, former Cowboy, current Tennessee Titan, is averaging Green Bay's defense is averaging, handing out 5.1 yards per carry, and Tony Pollard's off to a good start. Tennessee's playing better than expected, so Tony Pollard might be a player to start. The Bengals passing game, Ja'Marr Chase, man, might be time to get him finally on the field. you know, Washington is 1-1. They're still kind of coming off having the worst defense in the league last year, even though Dan Quinn's their new head coach, and he's a defensive guy. A couple players to be a little cautious on, Malik Nabers, as the Giants take on the Browns. You probably should have him in there. The thing is about Malik Nabers, his quarterback is Daniel Jones. He's not one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and Cleveland's defense, knowing that they have some situations on offense, that defense is going to step up and be pretty nasty. Already mentioned Tyreek Hill, normally a guy you never want to sit as long as he's healthy, even when he gets roughed up by the Miami police on the way to the game, handcuffed and stuff. Nonetheless, with Tua Tagovailoa not in the game for a foreseeable time, and who knows long term, and he's got a lot of decisions to make. I don't know what to say. He's had at least 4 or 5 concussions just in the pros, probably 1 or 2 in Alabama, plus growing up. May add up. And he's a high-profile player, and, you know, the league, while it quietly is not doing shit about CTE in the NFL, they want to say that they are. So, anyway, Tyreek Hill, a bit of a stretch, maybe a little cooling down on him until we see what Skylar Thompson can do, who has some experience. He's just going to be a little rusty, I would think. And let's see, Kyle Pitts, tight end of the Falcons, playing against the Chiefs, has not had many catches, but the Chiefs' defense seemed to give up the tight end on their priority, and other tight ends have played really well. Guys, you might not want to go too high on Michael Pittman Jr., as the Colts play the Bears. Well, last year with Gardner Minshew, he seemed to keep Pittman pretty active. Anthony Richardson still has not really materialized the chemistry you would like with Michael Pittman. That could always change. Again, like I said about fantasy football, you know, you look at this and you go, okay, you know, this quarterback and wide receiver haven't hooked up very well. And then, of course, this is the week that, you know, they hook up for like 4 passes for 127 yards and 3 scores. Because that's just football. And the team looks at it and they go, we're not getting the ball to Pittman enough. Let's make that happen this week. So those are the things that happen. Someone also to watch with maybe a waiver wire pickup is 49ers receiver Juwan Jennings. You know, he had a pretty good Super Bowl. He made some plays last year for San Francisco, and with Debo Samuel and CMC being on the bench, they're going to need someone to step up and take the place in productivity. So Juwan Jennings might be a wide receiver from San Francisco to check out if he's available in your league. And a couple more things to get to in the injury report. Justin Jefferson, the quadriceps injury, has been limited the last couple days in practice, but has said for sure he'll be a go against the Texans. And kind of a big game. 2 teams that are 2-0. I think we know Houston's pretty good. They were in the playoffs last year, and they didn't stumble coming out with a, you know, playoff hangover and, you know, great rookie season hangover with C.J. Stroud and coach DeMarco Ryans. No sophomore slump yet. Justin Herbert, who was dealing with foot injury and was dinged up last week and missed some time in the game, did log a partial practice Thursday, so he's probably going to be starting most likely for the Chargers against the Steelers on Sunday. Both those teams are 2-0. I expect that to be pretty much a smash-mouth game with Tomlin and Harbaugh. That's going to be a... and I have some Tylenol just to watch that one. Nico Collins of the Texans looks like he's coming back and trending in the right direction to play this week. CeeDee Lamb, ankle injury, limited practice. Coach McCarthy's not highly concerned. I wonder if he is about anything. A couple players to maybe go soft on and trending down. Kenneth Walker with an oblique injury did not practice Thursday for the Seahawks. They face Miami. Zach Charbonnet, who I have on my team, kind of a bit more of a bruiser fullback, might get more action against Miami. I'm going to have to revisit possibly starting him, except I already started Ramondre Stevenson, taking up a running back slot already. That did not return much on the investment. Evan Engram is iffy for Monday's match against Buffalo. George Kittle, hamstring injury and had to get a couple IVs. He was added to the injury report, missed Thursday's practice, so he's questionable. Deebo Samuel mentioned him with a calf, already expected to miss the game, and CMC on the IR, certainly missing the game against the Rams this Sunday. A.J. Brown, he didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday, and is highly questionable for Philadelphia as they take on the Saints. Coach Sean McVay says it's possible Cooper Kupp might not have to go on the injured reserve. And that would mandate a four-game absence. Either way, Cooper's not playing Sunday against the Niners, and Puka Nacua is already on the IR. So don't have their number one receiving team for the Rams. They and the 49ers are both 1-1. They both opened with victories, and they both lost last week. The Niners lost to the Vikings, who are feeling good about Justin Jefferson, but Jordan Addison did not practice Thursday. And then somewhere in kind of the middle, T. Higgins with Cincinnati. He remained limited practice for the Bengals on Thursday. And Packers quarterback Jordan Love with a knee returned to partial practice Thursday and has a shot of playing against the Titans. Now, if Love does not draw the surprise start, I still think it's a prove-it kind of week. I think it's maybe a little early for him to come back. Very interesting because Malik Willis is the guy who got the start last week for Green Bay. They did get a win. He just came over from the Titans. They picked him up at the end of training camp just before the season started. And, well, that's who they play Sunday. Does he know enough about that team to have an edge, or does that team know enough about him, which is kind of what I'm seeing, to have an edge against Green Bay? That'll be interesting. And I hope Jordan Love, long-term, stays healthy. MJ Cruz, time to wrap up Fantasy Sports Friday. I enjoyed doing this show. I hope you enjoy listening to it. If you missed it, you can check it out on demand, probably by later today. Listen to it again on Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, and again on demand, live every Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. Thanks for tuning in. Back next week.